unlawfully sent, received, and exposed by Hillary Clinton, her staff, and Anthony Weiner, Hillary cannot lead a nation while crippled by a criminal investigation. Hillary Clinton, unfit to serve.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
With minutes to go before the polls closed, the last political commercials were fired from the TV broadcast barrels. The air went silent like the heavy guns on the Western Front on Armistice Day. It was over, in a sense. The last big bombardment of TV ads on Monday night had been so thick that WCVB General Manager Bill Fine said there had been no room for Bernie and Phil, the ubiquitous furniture sales couple. And so toxic, Fine reflected, that a new word was needed to adequately describe the content, because calling it mudslinging was an understatement. Out in Holyoke, presidential historian Joseph Ellis did not hesitate in his pronouncement.
It's probably the ugliest political presidential campaign in American history, which is saying an awful lot.
Ellis is a scholar of the Founding Fathers. He's written biographies of Jefferson and Adams, and he says the political culture they created is in danger.
I really worry in that sense, as a historian whose major interest is the origin of our republic, that what we're in the process of doing is incompatible with civility or with any form of civic conversation.
In Windham, New Hampshire, where even the 70-degree weather triggers debate about the existence of global warming, voter Ross Hughes says the election went too long.
It seems to be kind of a civil war going on with this election.
The presidential biographer and scholar Doris Kearns Goodwin compares this election to those at the turn of the 20th century when the Industrial Revolution shook the country to its shoes.
People moving from farms to cities, the pace of life speeding up with all the technological inventions, lots of immigration coming in from abroad, a big gap between the rich and the poor, and there was just a desire to somehow stop the pace of change that was happening.
That gave rise to populist demagogues, says Goodwin, just as the quest for easy answers today has led to the Trump phenomenon. Though the election may have ended, nothing may have been truly settled. And voters leaving the poll in Windham yesterday seem to know that best. Ray Hughes again.
It's going to continue.
Why?
Regardless of who gets elected, it's going to be a nation divided, I feel.
When you have a country that's this polarized, if Hillary wins, for example, I can guarantee you Trump people are not going to really see her as a president for a long time, and vice versa.
Chris Kristanovic voted with his wife, Anna, who added a punctuation mark.
I'm just horrified. I'm really scared about this country. I can tell you that if she wins, people's going to start leaving the country.
Joseph Ellis, the historian, says the fabric of democracy is fraying.
The United States is now going to be viewed by the rest of the world as a model of how democracy doesn't work. Instead of the city on a hill, this is like a volcano that's exploding.
He worries about the republic.
It cannot survive levels of partisanship, ideologically driven factions that are unwilling to compromise or to attempt any form of bipartisan government. No system can function if the people running it are intending to destroy it.
After the crisis of the 2000 election, when a highly contested Supreme Court ruling led to George W. Bush being declared president, the loser, then Vice President Al Gore, gave a concession speech that was written by Richard Goodwin, the historian and former JFK aide and speechwriter for Lyndon Johnson.
He said, as I remember, my responsibility is to honor the new president-elect and do everything possible to help him bring Americans together.
Gore, who strongly disagreed with the Supreme Court decision, accepted the outcome with grace.
In one of God's unforeseen paths, this belatedly broken impasse can point us all to a new common ground, for its very closeness can serve to remind us that we are one people with a shared history and a shared destiny.
The search for new ground, namely the common ground, is what all three historians say is vital for the health of our republic. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.